Good morning. Any farmers out here? Oh, okay. You farm? You know about germination? Grace germinates grace. Think about that all morning now. As parents, raising up children to be responsible and godly people, we occasionally give them commands, and we expect them to obey them, right? Oh, you're shaking your head? Yeah? Well, being children of God, our Heavenly Father gives us commands occasionally, and he expects us to obey them. Do we? So every once in a while, it's good to maybe review some of these commands that the Lord has given us. I'm going to look at a couple before we start this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're going to see maybe four, and some of them are going to have an aspect of what we're talking about. In Luke chapter 6, we are told, we're not requested, we're told, love your enemies. That's verse 35 of chapter 6 of Luke. He also tells us, be merciful. That's verse 36. And in going in line with verse 37, Jesus tells us, judge not, and you shall not be judged. And what comes after number 37 in your logical thinking is 38. And so verse 38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That command is the subject matter of today's scripture. Giving. And there are many ways to give. It doesn't necessarily mean money. In fact, quite often it does not mean money when God tells us to give. Open your heart up to what God is saying to you. Then do what he says, and then be ready to receive the blessings that he's going to bestow upon you. Now, one thing I found out is that our Lord is so masterful in showing us things by the situation of others. So you don't have to learn by your own experience if you pay attention to what God's showing you. You can learn from the experience of someone else. And he puts us in the path of testing for the purposes of refinement. Ooh, pure gold, it's made pure by fire. He turns up the heat and all the impurities come out of the gold. If the gold ore only stayed in the earth all its existence, it would forever remain contaminated. It would never be pure. And that's how it is with us. In order for God to remove the impurities in us, we're tried by fire. He turns up the heat a little bit to test you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is all about giving. Giving to God can never be measured by the amount. It's not done that way. God measures the gift by the cost to the giver, not by how much he's given. Example, you make $1 million a year. You give $100,000 of it to God, right? You're not giving very much. You got so much left over, $900,000, that you're not giving much. If you only make $10,000 a year and you give $1,000 to God, you're giving a great deal because you don't have that much left to live on. Example that Jesus brought forth was in Mark chapter 12, 41. Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich gave a lot. And then a poor widow comes by, and she throws in two mites. That's about a half a penny. And so he calls his disciples over to him, and he says, I say to you, this poor woman, she put more in that box than all of the other people who gave. And why is that? Because she gave out of her poverty. He says she loved the Lord so much she gave all she had. She had nothing left. The church in Macedonia were like that widow. They gave out of their poverty for this collection that Paul had talked about in 1 Corinthians. They were poor, but yet they gave liberally. Now, notice this. You give very differently when you are motivated by grace. And we're going to look at four different ways the believer gives. Giving in spite of consequences. Verse 1 and 2. Paul says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. The church of Macedonia was in a very state of deep poverty, Paul says. Deep poverty means rock bottom. They couldn't get any lower. It describes a beggar who has absolutely nothing and has no hopes of ever getting anything. That's where they were. But their circumstances didn't hinder them from giving. In fact, it says they gave joyfully, and they gave a lot, generously. And so I have an equation for you to write down in your minds. Great affliction and deep poverty plus grace equals abundant joy. Abundant joy, not just joy.
One more time.
Great affliction and deep poverty plus grace equals abundant joy. When you have experienced the grace of God in your life, you won't use your difficult circumstances for stopping you from giving. The next one is give enthusiastically. Verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They had to beg Paul to take this gift that it seemed like none of them could afford to give, but they collected up a collection and says, Paul, take it. He says, I can't take it from you. Yes, take it. Now, it is possible to give generously, but not enthusiastically. I got a story here. There was this old miser in a church. And he was overheard by some of the people saying, well, the preacher says I should give till it hurts. But for me, it hurts just thinking about giving. Macedonian church was not like that. They were more than willing to share what they had, what little they had, to those that had less. Their giving was voluntary. It was spontaneous. They weren't pressured into it because it was of grace, not pressure. They gave because they had experienced the grace of God. Now, grace not only frees us from our sins, it frees us from ourselves. And we all have to be freed from ourselves. The box we put ourselves in, we have to be set free from that. And the grace of God will open up your heart. And it's going to fill it with warm-hearted joy. Joy. Joy unspeakable. Should have sung that this morning. That would have been good. But the other thing is giving as Jesus gave. Ooh. Jesus. He is always the example for us to follow. Whether it's in service, whether it's in suffering, whether it's in sacrifice, if we follow Christ, you can't go wrong. And so Paul reads on here. He says, and not only as we hoped. See, he was hoping for a collection from the church, but he says, not as we hoped, but he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. And then to us by the will of God. And so we urge Titus, as he begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. Verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by a commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. They first gave themselves to God. If we first give ourselves to God, we will have no problem giving from our substance that he provided for us in the first place. If we give ourselves to God, we will also give ourselves to others. Testing the sincerity of their love. Now, sometimes God tests our sincerity of our love. And do we pass the test? I hope to. It is impossible to love God and ignore the needs of your neighbor. Now, who's your neighbor? Read Luke 10. It's all about your neighbor. Jesus gave himself for us. He gave his life. He died. So that we might live. That being the case, shouldn't we freely give ourselves to him? Shouldn't we give to him all that he asks? Grace giving is evidence of love. Grace giving is love for Christ. Grace giving is love for God's servants. It is love for those who have a special need. He became poor so that we would be rich. That verse suggests that before we met Christ, we were all poor. And we were. But now that we've trusted him, we share in all his riches. Because now we're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have this big, huge inheritance that's coming to us. So spend some of it now. That being true, how can we refuse to help others? Scripture says, give willingly. In this, I give advice. This is verse 10. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what has and not according to what he does not have. A year ago, the church of Corinth said, yeah, we're going to give, just like Macedonian church. But they haven't done it. They never followed through with it. You see, there's a huge difference between promise and performance. You hear a lot of promises in your life, but if they're not carried through, how good of a friend is that? I'll help you with that wood pile. Yeah, yeah. They boasted to Titus that they would give and help in this collection. They didn't keep their word. Grace giving has to come from a willing heart. It can't be forced. That's not grace giving. That's pressure. And we don't want to confuse willing with doing, because the two go together. If the willing is sincere and it's in the will of God, that's the important part, then there has to be a doing. You have to follow it through. You have to perform. Just willingness isn't a substitute for the doing, because that's an empty promise. But if our giving is motivated by grace, then we give willingly, not expecting anything in return. God sees the heart gift. He doesn't look at the hand gift. If the heart wanted to give more, but was unable to do so, God sees it, and he records it accordingly in his ledger. But if the hand gift gives more than the heart wanted to give, God records what was in the heart. Because you're just giving for the show. And that's what he saw in the widow and the rich folk. The rich folk were given much so that they would be seen giving much. Whereas the widow gave from the heart all that she had. And he records what's in the heart, no matter how big the offering of the hand is. The other thing is giving by faith. In verse 13 all the way through 24, which you'll be happy to know I don't read this morning, Paul is not suggesting here that the rich become poor so that the poor can become rich. Because it wouldn't be wise for a Christian to say, go into debt just to pay off another Christian's debts. God is the one that does the equalizing. We don't have to. Look at this miracle of the manna. It's very pertinent here. In Exodus 16, verse 18, miracle of the manna. No matter how much manna the Jews collected that day, they always had exactly what they needed. They didn't have too much. They didn't have too little. They had the exact amount. And those who tried to keep a little extra for the next day or later on, what'd they find out? It spoiled. It become worms. It stunk. They couldn't do it. Lesson there for us, isn't there? It's pretty clear. We gather what we need. You share what you can. And don't try to hoard God's blessings for yourself. God's going to see to it that you will not be in need if we trust and obey Him. Our motive for giving should be the spiritual blessings that we're going to get from God. Not the praises we're going to get from man. Our measure for giving is the material blessings that God gives us. Grace giving is a matter of faith. We obey God, we believe that He will meet our needs as we help to meet the needs of others. So grace giving is the only way to give. A man who is in debt must pay his debts first before he gives. A man who has family obligations, provide for his family before he gives. I'll quote an old familiar saying, I don't know where it came from, but a man must be just before he is generous. And when that rule is neglected, those gifts can't be acceptable to God, nor acceptable in the sight of his fellow man. Wrong motive. There's a very, very important scripture that we should keep foremost in our minds. And if we do that, we will always do what is right and never what is wrong. The scripture is Matthew 25, verse 40. And Jesus is talking here. And he says, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So if you give a glass of water to somebody that's thirsty, you did it to Jesus. If you bought a meal for somebody that had no money and was hungry, you did it to Jesus. But the opposite is true. If a gentleman on the highway or a lady on the highway has a flat tire, you don't stop and help them. You didn't stop for Jesus. When you ignore what the Lord's telling you to do to help someone, you're ignoring Jesus. Whatever you do, good or bad, he says, you did it to me. And so we have to be very careful. We have to be diligent to put aside our own selfishness, to put aside our own wants. Because God's going to provide for our needs. And that's all we need. My want list is luxury. And I don't need all that luxury sometimes. So as we go out about our life during the week, and the person is laying in the ditch, don't be like the folks that walk by on the other side of the road. Be the one that stops and bind up the wounds and pour the oil and wine over the wounds and take care of them and put them in a hotel room. Because your blessings will be great from the Lord in repayment. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, may we imitate Jesus Christ in our life. May we be the ones that go that extra mile in carrying that soldier's pack. When we're ordered to go 1 mile, we go 2. When you show us what we should do, give us the grace to obey you, to do what you said. Your word is true. We know it to be true. So maybe we follow it. And we know our reward will be great. You will not be owed anything from us. You tell us, test me this. If I won't pour out the blessing so much that you can't hold it all. And so today we just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. All of us, 100%, and everything we have, we give to you, and you dictate what we should do with it. Put a special blessing on today's snacks, Lord, and as we gather and fellowship, that we keep in mind that if we don't obey you, the consequences are pretty strong. We come to you in Jesus' name. Glory be your name, Lord. Amen. Oh, you should have got up and got it.